The house stood close to the street, but behind it was a large garden where many bright flowers bloomed, and a row of tall trees cast their pleasant shade. On one side of the garden were three round ponds. For 100 years these ponds had never failed to supply fish for the Friday dinner. A great rose bush clung to the walls of the house. For years it had climbed and climbed, until now some of its clustering red blossoms peeped into one of the upper windows. The whole room was sweet with their fragrance. This old house had once been a fine palace, but now it was used as an inn where travelers might stay for the night. In the stables beyond the garden were some horses belonging to the king. When his messengers carried his letters to the north country, they always stopped here to change horses and rest for an hour. One June morning, Jonathan Brewster brought into the garden the new boat he had just finished. He was going to sail it upon the fish pond. His little sisters stood near, watching the tiny boat make its first trip across the pond. Fear held in her arms a small wooden doll, very ugly, but very dear to the little mother. Jonathan wanted the doll for a passenger, but Fear would not trust her baby to the boat until she was sure it would not tip over. Now let me stop and say here, guys, this little girl's name was Fear. That doesn't mean fear in a negative sense. That means like fear of God, respect for God. You know what I mean. People back in those days named their kids some very serious names. The little ship had hardly touched the other side when a distant sound made the children spring to their feet and listen. Again they heard the long, clear sound of the bugle. "It is the king's messenger. Run and tell Henry to get out a fresh horse," cried Patience. "There goes Dr. Fuller skating to see a sick man at the other end of the town. At the rate he goes, he will soon be there. And who is this pushing a sled before him as he skates? Bartholomew knows him. That is Peter Houghton with his lame sister. She cannot skate, so Peter has fixed her chair on a sled and covered it with warm fur. On the sled is a little foot stove filled with hot coal, so she will not get cold. Her pale cheeks have grown rosy and her eyes shine with pleasure. Now we have come to the great canal beyond the city. It is much wider than the others. Here are beautiful sleighs drawn by horses, their bells making merry music on the canal. On top of the hill, we will build a large, strong fort and mount our cannons upon it so they will point in every direction," said Captain Miles Standish. "If the Indians make trouble, we will bring the women and children to the fort for safety." As he spoke, there was a frightened scream from the children at play outside. The next moment, a tall, half-naked Indian stood in the door before them. Three eagle feathers were braided into his long black hair. Lines of red and black were painted upon his face. In his hand he carried a long bow, and a quiver of arrows hung between his bare shoulders. The pilgrims sprang to their feet, seizing their guns and swords. Perhaps he was only one of many who were already in the village. The Indian did not move from his place, though he laid his hand upon a little hatchet at his belt. How sharply his bright eyes glanced from one to another of the men. "Welcome, Englishmen," said he. "What? Do these savages speak English?" said William Bradford. "Look to your guns, men," said Captain Miles Standish in a low voice. "He may not be so friendly as he seems." Perhaps the Indian understood the captain's words, for he said quickly, "Samoset, friend of Englishman, he come to say welcome." Elder Brewster stepped forward and gave his hand to the strange visitor. "Thank you for your kind words, friend. Where did you learn our language?" "Samoset is chief in little land in the sea. Many English come there to fish and buy furs. Samoset, much good to Englishmen." "How far away is your island?" asked the elder. "Come big wind in ship one day, or canoe to shore, then walk 5 day," answered the chief.